Welcome to the podcast. I'm Richard McLean.
I'm Jason Knoll.
I'm Matt Skaggs.
And this is Please Leave a Message. Find us at pleaseleavemessage.com. We're on iTunes and TuneIn. I got us on TuneIn so I could say, hey, Alexa, play Please Leave a Message podcast.
Sweet.
Only reason I did it.
It's a good reason.
I think so. We're called Please Leave a Message because you can call in. We have a phone number set up and you can leave us a message. The number is 801-SKETCH-1 and that's 801-753-8241. Anything that we talk about that's visual, we'll post pictures on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at message podcast, and you can email us at pleasepodcast@gmail.com. I was thinking that I should do a contest.
Ooh.
To try and get more people to listen and share the podcast. So I'm going to give
this
away,
like, wins a date with Matt kind of thing.
Yeah. Surprise, Matt.
Yeah. Great.
It's a great dude.
So great. I don't mind. I wouldn't have a hard time going out with a dude. I'd have a hard time with going out with someone boring.
I don't know if anybody boring listens to this podcast.
Yeah, that's probably a good point, yeah.
All right, so what I'm going to do, I've got a copy of my comic book.
Ooh.
We're All Game, the group Project of Doom. And I'm going to give away a copy of that. So I was thinking about this just earlier today. What I'm going to do is, this is a Be a Part of the Podcast contest, because I don't get enough people calling in to the phone number. So I'm trying to get people to call in. So there's three ways you can enter, though, just different ways to interact with the podcast. So first of all, you can give us a call at 801-SKETCH-1 and leave us either a funny story or a spooky story or a gaming story. And just remember, if you call in and leave a message, that the messages are limited to 3 minutes. That's not something I can change. So practice your message ahead of time or you'll run out of time. I guarantee it. Another way to enter is to comment on our Instagram or send us a message on Instagram.
That's probably easier because you don't have a time limit.
Yep, that is true.
although our read, my ADD kicks in after about half a paragraph, so keep it short, people.
The third way you can enter is by sending us some found audio, and send that to pleasepodcast@gmail.com.
Cool.
And just send us an email, and then I'll put names in a hat or something after 2 weeks.
What are you looking for with a found audio clip? That sounds interesting.
Anything. I just, we like to feature found audio on the show.
That's sick.
So I go to the DI at least once a month and look for weird stuff. Mm. I find stuff from local artists. My favorite, or you can tell it's a handmade CD, a handmade label, and they printed them themselves. It's just fun to find that stuff. Or you find like small run CDs. They haven't done a lot of them, and they're like from some local market somewhere else that isn't here, and just somehow
they made their way over.
Disc made it.
I've got some stuff for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love that kind of stuff. We like to feature stuff on the show. So send us some found audio and whatever information you can dig up about it, so we can talk about it.
I got to read that. It looks really cool. I've seen it on your social media stuff, but I've never taken a look.
The website has been broken for like a year.
Nice.
In fact, when you guys were last on, which was February, well, that's when the episode dropped. We actually recorded in December, I think.
Mm. That whole day was a blur.
I'm sure. We'll get into that in a minute.
A blur.
So, but yeah, my site had just broken at that point, and I still haven't really gotten it fixed because I don't have the time or the brain power. But I found out in October that it was just randomly working again.
Hmm.
And I went to the site. Not everything's working, but you can read through the comics again, which you couldn't do before.
Something.
So yeah, I mean, that's nice.
Well, this looks cool. People should enter so they can win it.
I'm going to read it right now. I hope you guys don't mind if I read it while you talk.
Just read it while... Yeah. You can just... Richard and I will talk, and you can just do your thing.
And then every once in a while I'll be like, oh.
All right, so just to clarify, the ways that you can enter this contest are to, one, call our number and leave us a message. The messages we're looking for are silly stories, scary stories, spooky stories, embarrassing moments, or found audio, found sound of some kind. The second way you can enter is to interact with our Instagram account. Send us a message, comment. Third way is to send us email with some kind of found audio, found sound. No matter which way you enter the contest, send us an email so that I know you've entered. That'll be easier for me to make sure that you've entered. You can call us at 801-SKETCH-1. That's 801-753-8241. You can interact with us on Instagram at messagepodcast, or you can send us an email at pleasepodcast@gmail.com. And so regardless of the way that you enter, make sure you send us a message at pleasepodcast@gmail.com and put in the subject line contest. If you have entered via, say, the phone number or Instagram, if you email us to make sure that I know that you've interacted with us, then I will add another entry to the contest. So if you email us to let you know you've interacted with us, that'll count as a second entry. So if you interact through email, you'll get two entries. If you interact through the phone and then send us an email, then I'll make sure you get two entries. If you interact through Instagram and then email us, I'll make sure you get two entries. So yeah, this is going to be a fun contest. Oh, and I'm going to run that till April 5th. And then on the next podcast that I record after April 5th, we'll make the announcement on who our winner is. And I'll contact you. Make sure when you enter that you leave contact information, because I want to be able to let you know that you won. All right. So yeah, you guys have been on two episodes. You were on episode 5. And you co-hosted that episode. So 207 downloads as of this morning. And that's number 13 overall of my podcasts. And then you guys were on episode 9. That was the interview one. And that's my most popular episode. 506 downloads as of this morning. So
because we're super interesting.
My natural charisma.
Just about a year ago. So they recently added a new tool to the podcast site that I host from.
Is it Matt?
Good one.
Sorry, continue.
It's a map of the world, and it tells you where your biggest audience is.
Oh, that's
cool. And oddly enough, Tokyo.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is my biggest audience.
I'm pretty big in Tokyo.
Isn't that like a thing you say? I'm big in Japan.
Yeah, I'm big in Japan.
Is that like a song?
I'm big in Tokyo.
This episode features an interview with Aaron Abraham Anderson, who was a guy that I met in third grade, and I knew him all throughout junior high and high school and elementary school, and now he's a nurse in Idaho. But at one point, he was going to be a rapper.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So I contacted him the other day because I was going through my CDs and re-ripping everything and fixing my mistake of many years ago of doing MP3s.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It's funny how many times I've looked back on my music collection and I'll listen to a song from like 10 years ago and I'm like, how could I stand this?
Yeah, I do that on YouTube a lot. Like, people will be like, hey, check out this song, and they'll stop playing it, and immediately I'm like, nope. so bad, so compressed, so gross.
So MP3'd.
Yeah, so MP3'd. What kind of rap? Like southern rap, more
so,
like gangster
like
rap,
hip hop,
Idahoan rap.
So Idahoan rap. Like Draper rap.
Yeah, like straight up from the slums of Lehigh.
He was kind of a gangbanger in high school, and so he was into the gangster rap stuff. But then he kind of had some run-ins and he found religion. And so it's gangster slash Christian rap. It's
gangster Christian rap, yeah.
So anyway, I was digging through all my CDs and I found a game case in there for Heroes of Might and Magic 3.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, I don't ever remember having that game. And I open it up and it's a CDR that's completely, there's no label. I'm like, what is this?
That's always exciting, though. You're like, ooh, what is it? What is it?
Yeah, I go through my CD collection every once in a while, and I always find the same couple CDs. And every year, I forget what the CD is. So every year, I'm like, ooh, what is this? And I plug it in. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is that Carbon Leaf album.
I'm getting you a Sharpie for your birthday.
Yeah, this is that Code Orange album that I got from my brother, you know?
Carbon Leaf, that's a good one.
So I pop it in, and it's Aaron, my friend, rapping. And I'm like, holy cow, how long have I had this? So I had to contact him. I had to track him down and have him on the show to talk about his music from back in the day.
Sick.
And he's like, this is the only copy of this that exists. because it's not even the final versions of the songs. This is like some demo that I ripped off at some point to show to somebody.
So you could like sell it for tons of money.
If he had any kind of following.
Yeah. Now that he's world famous.
Idaho famous.
Yeah, Idaho famous.
All right. So we call this part of the podcast I Tick. We ask everybody the same 6 questions just to figure out what makes them tick. So why don't you tell us your name and what you do?
My name's Aaron Anderson. I'm a registered nurse. I do nursing by phone right now. I know you interview creative people. My kids are creative. That's super awesome. But, it's the best job in the world. I wake up, I put on my pajamas, I go in my office, I take calls by phone. And when work's over, I walk out of my office and do stuff with my family.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
All right. Aaron, tell us your earliest memory.
Wanting a banana. I was sitting in a high chair and I wanted a banana and I couldn't talk. And I remember that I expressed I wanted a banana and my mom got it for me and I was quite happy. Remember that.
Nice. All right. Tell us a story from your childhood, something that's influenced your life and something that maybe you haven't shared often.
So this is my most embarrassing moment, right? We had just come back from camping, Steve Ogilvy and my dad and me, and my dad took us to McDonald's. And we're sitting at McDonald's and, we see these abandoned Happy Meals, 2 of them. And we sit there and we talk about these abandoned Happy Meals for like 10 minutes. We're like, why'd they get abandoned? Who would abandon Happy Meals? And we go over and look at them. The toys are still in and everything. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Why would someone abandon Happy Meals? So finally, we decide that, hey, since these Happy Meals have been abandoned, we can't let them go to waste.
No.
So we take the toys out of the Happy Meals, put them in our pockets, we eat the burgers and the fries, everything, you know. And then we go sit back down, and then probably 2 minutes later, this lady and her kids comes out of the bathroom. And the kids are like, oh my gosh, what happened to my Happy
Meals? Oh no.
And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. We ate your Happy Meals. We thought they were abandoned. And the lady's like, well, you needed them more than we did. Don't worry about it. She's just walking out the door with your kid. I'm like, oh, we didn't need them. We had our own food. Here, at least take your toys, kids. Get your toys, man. So embarrassing, man. And so, you know, how has that influenced my life? Well, if I ever see Happy Meals that I think are abandoned, I don't touch them.
All right. Share with us a piece of music that's been highly influential in your life.
Probably Come Cut Me Saints, probably my favorite song. Although lately with my daughter, we've been singing a lot of Disney songs. So like Frozen, you know, yeah. Good songs. Music for good influence is not that easy to find in my life. And lots of bad influences of music, but good influences, not too much. Heavy, I think I told you last time, Heavy D, Girls Love Me was what got me into rap as a kid. So, you know, it was a good song. Nothing that bad in it. Just him trying to knock boots with a bunch of chicks, be Heavy D. And, you know, it just kind of like my gateway drug into other rap that I shouldn't have been listening to, probably.
Okay. All right. Share with us another piece of media that's been influential in your life.
Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, dude. I came home from my mission, no TV for 2 years. It was the first show I watched. I've been begging my mission president to let me watch it. And you know what he'd say? He'd say, do what you think is right. Hated that. So I never watched it. And so I love those books all growing up. And man, they nailed it, dude. Fellowship of the Ring was so good. It was so good. I watched it on a little teeny, I don't know, it must have been a little teeny TV with a VCR plugged into it. And I was on the edge of my seat. I couldn't believe it, man. It was so intense when Bilbo would drop the ring. It sounded like it was so heavy and it hit the ground. Bam! And Gandalf goes to grab it. He leans down. You see his fingers coming around the ring. And then the eye appears. And just not an extended edition, just a regular edition of Fellowship of the Ring, man. It built so well. It was such a good movie, man. So good.
Nice. Okay. Tell us about your passion and why you do it.
My kids, you know, I think everybody's passion is that they could, their kids can do better than they did, avoid some of the pitfalls in life that they had. You know, my kids are great, man. I don't deserve them. They're super, super good kids. Me and my wife were talking the other day. It's kind of interesting, you know. I mean, like, husbands and wives, we get married, and we don't necessarily have that much in common when you really think about it. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes we're huge nerds and our wives aren't, or you know, maybe they become a little nerdy because of our nerdiness. But one thing that's interesting is we really have more in common than anyone else on Earth, because like our biggest deal is our kids, right? No matter who we go find out there, their biggest deal is not our kids, you know? So we have this huge commonality that's, you know, I'm very concerned about my kids and what they do and their growth and their development. So is my wife, and there's no one else out there who that's their daily thought, their daily prayer, and their daily walk. So actually we got, you know, so much in common, you know? Because my wife will say things like, oh, you know, we don't got that much in common or something, you know, once in a while, because she's super smart and cool and everything, and I'm just a big freaking teaser and nerd. I'd be like, yeah, we got a ton in common. You know, every day, our whole lives are in common. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron, what makes you tick?
Cholesterol. I don't know, man. Food, life. Yeah, I think just family, getting up, doing those things. It's come unbelievably important to me to watch my family develop. You know? So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks for coming and being interviewed for this portion of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Go insane. This is my story, my name is Aaron, you can call me Abe. It's about being lost and miraculously saved. I started in the gangs at the age 16. I felt I knew it all, I was living a dream. Got smacked, thrown up signs one time. To me it was a game to commit them crimes. On one night on a drunk thought I was Bruce Lee. Trying to fight a whole crew but they beat up me. Cracked skull, spine, and fluid running out my ear. Blood clot on the brain, but baby, I'm still here, man. Hit by two cars, thrown out of bars. Hit by crowbars, and I've seen stars. I've lived in four states and lost it all three times. OD twice on Chris, who was three times. From about 6 feet away, pointing a pistol at my friend. I didn't think it was loaded, and then, bang. I swear he should be dead, G. I guess God's watching over me. I got caught thrice with an ounce of weed. Got caught for a drive-by at the age 18. Broke the rules like I had a gun and pulled it out. I didn't shoot no one. Well, I been trying to act and trying to glorify the life I was living because I wanted to die. And I still don't see how I'm alive and free, because every part of me says that I shouldn't be. Yeah. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And I wish I could say more to make you see. When I didn't want him, he still wanted me.
So you guys are working on a new album.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's all I have to say. Yeah, it's called Pray For Me. It's an EP.
Pray, P-R-E-Y.
P-R-E-Y, okay. For me, yeah. Six songs is kind of the goal. We've got three recorded and, like, finished, and we're going to probably send them off for mastering soon here. And then we're probably going to release the song that we're going to hear today as a single off the album. And then we're hopefully, once we kind of get those fixed and we kind of get... The Cold Year has been on a bit of a hiatus lately, just kind of getting our stuff act together and getting kind of regrouping. And
yeah, there was a change big story staff. About, you know, change of drummer and all this. And it's been a while since we've been able to do some stuff.
But we still have a studio. You know, we still are recording at Wisney World.
Nice.
And everything. So we're just, at this point, it's just getting the new drummer up to speed and getting him happy and making sure everyone's on the same page again. So the Cold Year's not dead. It's just taking a little bit of a break. Yeah.
Okay.
Sleeping very heavily.
All right. Do you want to talk about
Vacation to Hell.
Do you want to talk about the song first, or should we play the song first?
Let's play the song first.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. Because I'm a producer, so I want everybody to hear, like, every nuance of everything that
we can talk about afterwards, though. Like,
Okay, we'll play it, and then we'll talk about it, and then all of you have to go back and listen to it
then
again.
Then we'll play it a third time.
Yeah.
Thank you. so simple. Everything is fine. It's a novel desire. So take the vinyl. It speaks to me. It's anything I want. It crackles and swans, even when it's warm. It is everything. It's a molded plasticity. A little sentimentality. These amps and priests. The groove, the spin. The needle to cut in. These speakers are on fire. It's ears entangled. It don't discriminate. So set your spin rate. It's still better than pills, even if it's expensive. The groove, the spin, the needle to cut in. These speakers are on fire.
Very cool.
I can't talk right now.
So, the thing that I've noticed, and I noticed it a little on the other album too, when you're doing that, where you're playing with the space of the sound, mm-hmm. what's your technique for doing that?
It's pretty straightforward. We just automate the panning for the most part.
Okay, because I'm not just hearing left and right, because mm-hmm. I'm also hearing some spatiality front to rear.
I don't know.
Yeah, the for that section in the song where it goes from one ear to the other, it was mostly just kind of, I was listening to the song in my car, and I just heard, I heard it just all playing out at once, and I wanted it to go... like it's passing by mm-hmm. you a little bit, and so I brought that idea to Jason, and he was just like, oh well, automate the pan, and then he was like, bing bang bomb, done. And so it's, that was literally just an idea that I had of it kind of floating behind your head a little bit, mm-hmm. so it's right behind you.
Well, and part of the idea is sonically, I mean, if you look at the, I guess, the RTA of the song, right, like mm-hmm. the frequency spectrum of the song, it's pretty bandpassed. In other words, we've cut a lot of the highs and a lot of the lows.
Okay.
You still hear a lot of good bass in there and things like that, but the idea is that we wanted it to sound very tape, very right. AM radio, very analog, kind of, I hesitate to use the word lo-fi because that's kind of overplayed these days, but that's what we were going for.
It's a different kind of lo-fi. Mm-hmm. It's not lo-fi where you record it clean and then add a filter in Pro Tools. It's
right.
lo-fi in that the vocals are literally recorded through an old RCA tape deck.
Okay.
It's about as big as like a book, mm-hmm. and it's got these tapes that you place on onto it, and then
like
it's got
tapes like
the open reel stuff.
Yeah, the
they're tapes. Yeah, they're actual cassettes. Tapes.
Oh, that kind.
Yeah, but they're like 4x8 inches or something. Yeah. I mean, they're big tapes,
and they're big blank tapes.
Yeah,
so you can record onto them, and it comes with a crappy little mic. So we ran what's the mic that Columbia had in this studio?
Oh goodness, I don't even remember.
we just ran a mic through a preamp and then into the tape deck, and then I would one take it. So the vocals and the guitar and that song are all one take, all single take all the way through. We played it through into the mic, through the pre, and then into the tape deck, and then we would play it back with a condenser in front of the speaker. And so that's what you're hearing, is you're literally hearing the one take vocals and guitar on top of each other. And then later we went in and overdubbed the bass and the drums, but then we compressed the heck out of them to make them sound very old school, vintage, lo-fi.
The whole basis of the song is enjoying vinyl for the sake of enjoying
it's
vinyl.
It's a love song. It's a love song to analog music, just analog in general.
What was the name of the song?
It's called 33 and a Third.
Okay.
For obvious reasons.
So, yes.
Yeah, for those who don't know, explain it.
33 and a Third is the spin rate of some vinyl.
Yeah. The people say, certain people that I've talked to have said that 33 and a Third is the optimal setting for a vinyl to rotate at, or some kind of mumbly jumbly about that. So
I mean, depends on if you're playing 45s or 78s, but 33 and a Third is for most when people think of vinyl, they think of that one.
It's been standard since the 50s.
LPs.
Yeah, exactly.
LPs, yeah.
Yeah, LPs. Yeah. So...
awesome.
Yeah, so the guitar is interesting. If you listen closely, it has kind of a warbly sound to mm-hmm. it, like a warped sound.
So it's two things. The tape deck that I have has a speed control, and so that's literally partially me messing with the speed control slightly, like wiggling the knob so it slows down. You can hear it really clearly at the end when the song ends, and the guitar kind of goes, kind of comes back in. It's that classic tape warble.
Yeah, it just makes it sound like a bad tape deck.
It's me playing with that, and then I also have a pedal called the warped vinyl pedal, which is supposed to simulate that sound of a warped vinyl. So okay.
it's basically a tremolo,
it's basically a tremolo and a chorus combined.
Yeah, but so, it makes it sound like literally you're playing vinyl that's bent.
Yeah, it's a tremolo that is, instead of being a consistent wah 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 kind of sound, it's more of a so it sounds like your vinyl has a little bump in it, mm-hmm. and it's just like a needle skipping. So I played with it
even
for
the
hours.
Bass is through that, right?
Yeah, we played the bass and the guitar through it, and then my vocals are just clean through the tape deck, no changes. The second part, when my voice is a little more distorted, that's the same thing, but we just kick the gain up. And
you didn't do it through the copper phone?
No, none of that song is through the copper phone.
I wasn't there for that part of it.
Yeah. So that was just me and our old drummer just dinking around. So
And then obviously the vocals at the end are clear. They're crisp. They were through just a condenser straight in because we wanted to kind of give a contrast there at the end of it.
Yeah, but, evolution a little bit.
It's kind of a shoegazy kind of feel through the chorus. You can feel it kind of build into that, you know. But yeah, there's I don't know. There's just emotion attached to that song.
Because I'm a new vinyl collector. I don't have an amazing, huge, giant collection. I just started doing it recently. I've always had vinyl, and I've always had a record player, but I've just recently kind of realized how special it can be. You know, it's like taking a movie off the shelf and plugging it in. You are more invested in the experience. And I started to notice that I wasn't listening to albums anymore. I was becoming one of those people who just listens to singles, you know, or like has like one favorite song off of an album. And I started to kind of notice that I was doing that. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it also is, as a musician, as someone who has curated an album, I started to notice that the thing that I want people to do, I wasn't doing. Mm-hmm. I want people to pick up Praise the Goat, plug it in, sit down, and just listen through track 1 to track 10 all the way through, no breaks. Well, I mean, you can take breaks, but all the way through, you know?
You have to carry the speakers into the bathroom with you if you have to go.
Yeah. I mean. And so I was noticing that I was doing that less and less and less. So I just decided I'm going to listen to a vinyl record a day. So I did for a little while, and I just realized how magical it is. And so I started actually, like, I upgraded my system. I got a nicer, you know, turntable, and I, you know, got a nice, you know, nice set of speakers, and I've been buying more albums and going out, you know, I mean, Platinum Sports Memorabilia had their, like, going out of business sale, and so I went down there and dropped probably like $150 on new albums, and I've been listening to it ever since. So yeah, that's what that song is about, is just kind of that re-finding of something that you love that you forgot about a little bit.
I mean, the lyrics are very explicit. I mean, you know, it's not the background, you know, you listen, you sit still,
Than pills.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not really. But if you're taking pills,
I wouldn't know.
Don't drop pills for vinyl unless you're really confident you can, you know, continue. don't drop your medication, kids.
Now, you had some other songs that you said were inspirational.
Yeah, so as Jason knows, my dear friend Jason, I've been on a huge kick with King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard recently. And so...
Really?
Yeah. I've talked about them nonstop for the past, like, 6 months. Because...
They put out, like, 5,000 albums
last year. They put 5 albums out last year. Yeah, this year alone. And all of them are awesome. Like, I've listened to every single one all the way through. And when they release a new one... I was like, oh, that's the new best one. And then they'd release the next one. I'm like, oh, that's the new best one.
And yet he's not really a prog fan.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Like, I wasn't at all. But now I'm like, I'm consuming this new style of music, you know, this like crazy, insane, you know, genre bending prog, stoner metal almost, you know.
So I grabbed the free one when you would post it.
Yeah, Polygon of Wanaland.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I still can't pronounce it.
I have that one on vinyl now, thanks to.
Very nice.
Yeah, yeah. It was and it's the colored vinyl. So it's the like super trippy, you know, clear vinyl with the multicolors. It's beautiful.
Sweet. So I had grabbed that one and we were going on a trip. I don't know where. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. But my mother-in-law was in the car and my father-in-law was in the car and I couldn't handle the conversation anymore.
Yep, that's when you turn on King Giz. That's when you turn on the Giz.
I had that on my little music player. And so I put that on and I just kind of kicked back and I was blown away.
Yeah.
It was just so good.
Now that the albums have all come out, Flying Microtonal Banana is probably my favorite just because it's the most unique of all the albums they released. But Polygon of Wonderland is like right there just behind it because that album is so great. Like, I mean, probably again, Murder. I can't rank them.
What I really loved about it was they were playing with that space thing just like I noticed you guys.
And so that's where a lot of my inspiration for kind of it's not lo-fi, but it sounds vintage. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just they're recording it on a laptop and then throwing a filter on it. They're actually recording with, you know, like EV-635A mics.
This was a fun album.
Vintage record. Like, you know, every piece of you know, machinery that they used is, you know, beaten up and blown out and exploded and taken apart and put back together. And so that's kind of where the inspiration for this song goes.
Well, if you look at Praise the goat, I mean, we experimented a lot on that with light techniques and all sorts of weird things. Yeah. And so we kind of wanted to keep that going. And we don't want to get stuck in a rut. We don't want to do the same thing over and over again. So this album, you know, it's still The Cold Year. It's still very much their style, but it's different in the technique that it, you know, that we recorded it and produced it.
And the songs are a little more same, but different in a way, you know, like I'm still writing the same way I've always written. And we're still using a lot of the same like theory in the music, but like the way we're recording them is a little more, I think this time we kind of made them a little more straightforward approach.
We're also taking our time a little bit.
Yeah.
If you haven't noticed.
Yeah. We're taking our time. So.
We'll do it right.
Yeah.
Very cool. So what was the song you brought?
So the song I brought was Slow Jam Number 1 by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
What album is it from?
I Mean In Your Mind, Fuzz.
On the drums there.
Yep. So again, kind of like what you said, they play with space a lot.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
And the reason I'd asked you how you what your technique was is because I am obsessed with surround sound.
Oh, really?
And so that also includes ambisonic and binaural audio, as far as I'm concerned. And so I wondered if you were using any kind of ambisonic tools.
No. I mean, we do use, like I said, a lot of interesting miking techniques and things to kind of give it a space.
Yeah.
For example, if, not to backtrack, but if you listen to Praise the Goat, there's a few songs in there where we have like seven or eight mics on the same instrument at the same time.
Yeah.
We're able to
running the instrument through two different amps in two different rooms, each one having, you know,
but the same recording
mics.
same time.
Right.
So, you know, similar stuff to that. We just use different techniques to kind of fill that space out.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with necessarily what you're talking about. But,
okay. Yeah. Well, I just wondered because it's a tool that I think more people should be trying out.
Probably fills a similar purpose, but I mean, honestly, that'd be awesome. We should
do
this.
What I can do.
Well, like, go ahead.
Because most ambisonics you're using four mice. Mm-hmm. You know, so you've got an Omni and you've got three figure of eight mice mm-hmm. pointed in the different directions. And then you can decode that. And then you can decode it into a binaural or a mix. And it sounds like you're right there where it was recorded.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. But what you can also do, which I don't think a lot of people realize, is you can take a mono recording and then you can pan not just left and right. You can pan anywhere in a sphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Around the listening
and
voice.
That's the point of the 33 and a third is when the Ebo comes in, it sounds like it's starting here. Mm-hmm. And then it goes around your head instead of just behind.
Right.
It's going around your head.
I noticed that.
That was kind of the idea.
That's the point.
It was excellently done.
Oh, thank you.
Which I loved it.
My idea, though.
Yeah, no, Matt's idea. Matt's idea.
But I'm the idea man. Jason's the one who tells me whether or not it's viable.
I'm the executioner.
Yeah.
Executor? Executor?
Executor, yeah.
I'm not a Pokemon?
No, I don't.
I wouldn't know.
Generation one.
I will say you can definitely hear some influence in that one.
Yeah. Specifically, honestly, the thing that trips me out the most about King Gizzard and Lizard Wizard is not just their, you know, how prolific they are with releasing albums, but they have such a simple sound, but they somehow can ring it for everything it's worth. You know, mm-hmm. there's a video of them talking about just their setup, and they literally use the same pieces of equipment for everything, but they're experimenting as much as possible and doing all sorts of just stupid and weird things that right. no one would really, you know, they know the rules 100%, and so they know how to break them to wring as much weirdness out of their music as possible, which I really appreciate out from a band, you know, who's, you know, like, you've got bands that are making millions of dollars who can buy the best equipment, but they're always using that equipment for the one purpose that it's supposed to be used for, and it's like...
And exactly the same way.
Exactly the same way every time. It's like, why not use that for something else, you know, or use a terrible mic and try to get the best possible recording sound out of that bad mic, you know, things like that.
That's something I learned in my degree over at UVU was that, and you know, it's always something people talk about, but I learned it in practice, was the idea that the better you know the rule, the better you know how to break the rule.
Right.
And it's the same thing in guitar. Mm-hmm. You know, that chord progression is really simple. It's literally G, C, A, G, C, B minor, D, which is a very common chord progression, but I'm playing it using really interesting, you know, chord shapes and you know, the riff that goes on top of the chords, and the solos that I'm playing are all very much based in other things that are completely separated from what most people think of when I say, oh yeah, this chord progression is G, C, B minor.
And that's been my favorite thing about recording with Cold Year and producing with them is that, you know, whenever anybody says, I'll never do this in the studio, it's like, well, let's try it.
Let's
see what happens.
Yeah, no, that's the thing is like, that's when someone says, never do this, that's the first thing I want to do because I have an issue with authority, apparently. So...
All right, what was the other one you brought along?
So the other ones are, I've been on a bit of a, and this is kind of getting into the more of the quote-unquote lo-fi territory. They're short, two-minute-long songs, but the artists who I know do all analog, mostly all analog, the one by Dan Goh, he does a song where he uses a sample of a VCR, of a taping put into a VCR. Beyond that, the bass line, the way he recorded the notes and everything is all done.
Is that what that sound is at the beginning?
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out what it was.
And what's funny is that's actually in an old Dr. Dre song.
You can hear really?
The VCR. Yeah, I think they recorded that original tape going into the deck.
I mean, you'd think I'd know I listened to Dr. Dre almost exclusively. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I've got this laser disc player here. Ooh, if you want to record that.
Yeah, let's do
that.
Yes. So these two songs I brought, they're short, but they're a big influence on kind of the sound I wanted to get. I've always been a big fan of Found Sound. You know, the Praise the Goat has that mm-hmm. at the beginning, the cylinder of the Hellfire Preacher, and my mom reading my eulogy over the last track and things like that. I've always been a big fan of the Found Sound, and so a lot of it kind of stems from that lo-fi quality, you know, and they're short, simple, they're repetitive, so they're really easy to just listen to all day long, you know, and can focus on your music and stuff. But these are two of the tracks that I was listening to the most when I was writing this song.
Okay.
So, yeah.
that was Monster?
Yeah, Dan Go. And it's just, you know, it's a SoundCloud beat producer. Nothing super fancy or amazing, but it's
he's doing some interesting things with EQ and noise, kind of cutting in and out there.
It's interesting. The way the song is kind of structured, I just really like songs like that. It's just...
Well, you hear a similar thing on 33 and a Third.
Exactly, yeah.
We took that tape noise, and it was only on the vocal tracks. So we made sure it was out throughout the entire thing because we wanted that tape hiss. Mm-hmm. But if you listen closely at the end of it, there's a click, and it's basically that. And if you listen to the album, not to plug the upcoming album too hard, but if you listen to the upcoming album, at the end of the song previous, there's a click.
Okay.
And then on the next song,
there's a click in and a click out. It's almost like hitting play and stop.
Right.
And so that's kind of the idea. And so I think it's just kind of a similar idea there. Yeah. You have that noise kind of coming in and out.
And that's where that idea came from. I was like, I want this album to feel like it's like somebody sitting in their room listening to the album, and they're pushing the play button, and they're, you know, doing things like that. So that's kind of where those ideas come from. And music like that, it really kind of inspires me because it's, you know, it's simple and easy. It's the same riff over and over and over again. But
yeah, because your music's simple and easy. Holy cow!
Well, I mean, it is for me.
I don't know. There's not many.
It's because I wrote it.
I don't know. If you listen to 33 and a Third, there's even like polyrhythms in there. I mean, it's not exactly a simple song.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I guess you got a point.
But yeah, I'm familiar with that. If you look behind you right there, there's a case on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And that is full of cassette tapes. Stuff I recorded off the radio when I was in high school.
Yeah. I remember doing that.
And so yeah.
And the DJ would talk over the last like 3 seconds of the song.
Like,
and
you'd
get so mad.
Man.
I hated that. Hated that so much. Just shut up until the song's over, dingus.
I won't even tell you what songs I was recording.
Don't. It's better if you don't.
It's embarrassing.
Just about that entire box is Dr. Demento's.
Oh, there you go. That's okay. That's better than what I was doing.
So. All right. Should we play this other one?
Yeah.
Just go home and smoke a crap ton of weed and just listen to this episode over and over again.
Well, or just find that song on SoundCloud and put it on repeat like I do.
Yeah, and by weed I mean like the Morning Glory in my backyard. Weeds, you know. I don't know.
Maybe
what else
drink some kombucha.
Yeah,
get real hippie with it.
Yeah, get real real wasted.
Yeah,
non-herbal tea.
You scoundrel. You're making me blush. No, I'd say ignore the opening goofiness. Once the piano comes in, it's like...
I love that, like, over-compressed kick. Like, it's almost clipping. It's just, like, really saturated and disgusting, but it really fits. Again, it's one of those broken rules. It's not how you would normally hear a kick drum, but it sounds so good in there.
And that tape warble, I really don't know what it is, but I remember I was at work, and I was just listening to, like pedal demos. You know, there's this channel on YouTube that I really enjoy that just does pedal demos where there's no talking. It's literally just them playing guitar through a pedal. That's it. And so I like to listen to those every once in a while to kind of get an idea for what I want to work toward. You know, as far as my pedal board, and I heard the warped vinyl pedal, and it was like so haunting, you know, that because you get that tape warble, and even though they're going really extreme with it, like just crazy, the most like intense vibrato and stuff, even those, like it was like, oh, like you could feel it in your chest, and I was like, I have to have this guitar pedal, you know. And yeah, there's just something about tape warble that just makes me emotional, honestly. Like, I don't know what it is, why it makes me feel things, but it just does. Like that slight just imperfection in a guitar guitar tone or in a vocal tone that just makes me, you know, feel things. That's literally it.
It's like the first time you saw a girl and you felt something and you went, why am I feeling these things?
Yeah. And so it was Saria from Ocarina of Time. That was the first time I saw a girl. I was like, oh.
I think that's pretty much the case for a lot of us.
Green hair? I didn't know I liked that. Whatever.
I think I'm into green hair now.
Yeah. I really don't know what it is. It just, that sound, just the imperfection just makes me kind of, it makes me weak, and I don't know what it is about it.
You know, it's kind beautiful. Of a running theme through all of your music is the imperfection of it, right?
Yeah.
Like
we keep mistakes in.
There's a reason it's not polished. There's a reason it's not, you know, overproduced. It's supposed to be normal and natural and human, and that adds a very, very real feeling to it.
Perfect music is...
It's boring.
It's boring and it's easy, you know? Like, I can sit here and I can play the chord progression once through perfectly and then just loop that over and over and over again and then do a million vocal takes and then auto-tune it so it's all perfectly in key, but that's boring and I say easy. It's not easy to be that good at an instrument, but I'm saying, like, the process of being able to kind of let go enough to allow for imperfection to go through in the song is, I think, hard. It's really
and
hard.
I mean, you know, obviously there's something to be said for honing your craft and being really good at what you do and polishing it, you know, and I'm not saying that's bad, but just that is a theme of the Cold Years music is that imperfection is
beautiful.
It's beautiful. It is what it is.
Yeah. Like the human element is what makes music beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's not, you know, the computer that you're running it through, you know,
there's arguments when we're sitting in the studio of, like, wow, we kind of missed that drum beat there. Do we want to retake it? And it's like, no, you know what? Let's just leave it. It's good.
Yeah,
I like it. It's where it needs to be.
At the end of another song on the album, you know, we have a breakdown, and the breakdown, you know, was not on purpose. You know, we kind of fall off a little bit, and we end up kind of...
Well, and then it became on purpose.
And then it became on purpose later, because the way we broke up, it didn't work in the song per se, but then later down the road, we were like, okay, this is the part where timing and rhythm and all that stuff just goes out the window, and we just go for it.
Chords,
completely.
Chords and style go out the window, too. Gets pretty nasty.
So that's, you know, again, something to be said for that human element is just fun.
There's a trailer that I saw for a documentary. I don't know if it's out yet or not. And it was talking about what ruined modern music. And he's talking about the click track and making everything so unnaturally perfect.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we use click tracks when we play, but we also, you know, if something gets slightly off time, we are good enough musicians to get back on, you know?
Well, just like anything in a studio, a click track is a tool.
Yeah.
Right.
It's to be used a certain way, and it can be very, very beneficial. But again, that doesn't mean you can't break
back.
That rule.
Yeah.
You know? And so we use a click track just to make sure everything lines up when we're recording.
And so, like, when we were
recording... But we're not we're not super on top of it.
When we were recording the breakdown, we had the click track going, and we had a really hard time doing an effective breakdown.
Against it.
So I think came to a point where we just stopped the click track while we recorded the breakdown, just so we could understand that we no longer need this, so we can kind of throw that out the window, because when you have a click in your ear, it's hard to, you know,
to mess up.
Be bad.
Yeah.
So. Take someone good to be bad.
Yeah. Again, breaking those rules. Because as a guitarist, you're taught, play it perfect, play it right, you know, do this and this and this.
My baby.
Yeah. And, you know, always playing consistently and playing it right every single time, learning the exact way to do it, and then breaking those rules by allowing for a guitar part to slip up slightly, you know. That, and I'm just terrible at guitar.
Better than me.
Yeah.
I've had the acoustic for 4 years. I've had that for maybe 6 months.
I've had my acoustic for about 3 years, and I played it for about 9 months. And
he's really into it for 9 months.
I was really into it for 9 months, and then I had kids.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to get Rocksmith, and then I'm going to learn how to play by playing Rocksmith.
I bought the game.
Yeah.
It was like a bucket DI. I was like, heck yeah.
Yeah. I've never played Rocksmith, ever. Like, I have a bunch of old students who used to play it.
Now I've got a music theory app that's teaching me music theory, or reteaching me music theory, I should say.
Theory. I play guitar.
but after failing to learn on my own for that long, I'm taking a class this semester.
Yeah.
Matt could teach you, too.
Yeah.
I know.
I teach guitar lessons.
It's a school. Well, let me take classes for free because I work there.
Oh, so, there you go. Do it.
Right?
You could have a real professional teach you instead of some loser. Instead of some loser who lives under a bridge.
An overpass.
Yeah, an overpass.
Did you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
We can definitely plug the album. We're really excited about this one. So the three songs that we have out currently that we're ready to master and finish off, two of them are pretty standard Cold Year tunes. You know, standard, you know, that doesn't mean much when we're talking about the Cold Year, but they're very, very much in that same vein. 33 and a Third, which we heard earlier, that's a little bit different, obviously. It's a departure from their normal normal vein. The other three that we're working on, there's just some really good stuff happening.
We have a Latin jazz song on there that
really excited
I've been working on for a while. And then another kind of more chill one called Ammonia. That's
chill.
Be...
chill. Chill is not the word I would use.
Okay,
incredibly depressing is the word I would use. If you remember from Praise the Goat, Salted Floor, it's kind of like this album, Salted Floor. It's very, very intense.
It's called Ammonia. And I want to take it in a more avant-garde direction, but not like avant-garde jazz per se, but more chaotic, because it's supposed to be about a really horrible experience I had.
It's about death.
Yeah, that's all it's about.
The hospital.
Yeah, so that song, and then we've got The Masses, which is going to be a pretty straightforward, clean, Cold Year song. So if you like Praise the Goat, you'd like that.
If you like Guillotine, you'll like The Masses.
Yeah.
If you like, a lot of the songs are it's very similar. We found out it's a very similar chord progression to Guillotine.
Yeah, it is.
But it's a different kind of song. It's
up quite a bit, but the same kind of idea of a descending and ascending chord progression, da-da-da-da-da kind of thing. So, yeah.
Very excited for what's happening. We're looking forward to it. And obviously, you're always writing.
Yeah.
And you've got...
We're also looking for a drummer, so hit me up at MatthewSkeggsMusic@gmail.com if you drum.
Well...
I'm just kidding. We have a drummer, so we're good.
But, you know, as soon as we find something better, he's out.
We're also looking for a lead singer and guitarist, so I can retire, because this band is terrible, and I don't know how to get out of it.
If you don't play bass, that's okay. Most bassists don't either, so you can join the band.
Yeah, I think Mitch is the only one who still cares. So.
Well, awesome. Well, thanks for coming and being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Always fun to talk with you guys.
I love this. It's always fun.
Yeah, super fun.
All right, and remember to call in 801-SKETCH-1. Leave us funny, spooky, or gaming stories. And then after you do whatever you're going to do to join the contest, I'm going to have a post on Instagram. Just share it everywhere so we can get as many people listening to the podcast as possible. So anyway, we'll hear you next time.
Yeah,
great.
See you
now,
next
if you'll excuse me, I'm late for Max Sabbath in the Galactic Empire at Urban Lounge.
Well, hurry up and get out of here.
Thanks so much.
So high.
Awesome. All right, so that's our interview today. We'll play that now. All right.
Oh, that was great.
Wow. So intuitive. So much rapping. I really wasn't expecting him to break out into that like freestyle halfway through and rap for like 20 straight minutes. It was amazing.
Much lyric. Wow.
Oh, wow.
All right. So.
Rhyming Florida and water. That was amazing.
Cut.
Yeah. You guys are so funny.
Hey, there's a reason why you're most popular.
Yeah.
That's right. Right? Exactly. Okay.
What's the word I'm thinking of? Bad? No. I think that it's... And the other one's the same reason. Just super simple, easy to listen to, really pretty.
You're really pretty.
Thank you.